The train doors close at 11:40 p.m. A woman scans the car. Three riders. One man stares too long. Another paces. The conductor's voice fades under the rattle of track joints. She shifts seats to stay near the camera dome. She holds her keys flat in her palm. She texts her location to a friend. None of this is dramatic to her. It is routine. On buses, sidewalks, platforms, and parking lots, the same microcalculations repeat. Walk under the brighter side of the street. Avoid the blind corner by the stairwell. Pretend to take a call. Sit with a clear exit. These are not superstitions. They are adaptations. The central question is simple. What would it take for a woman to ride or walk without rehearsing a safety plan? This series follows the places where risk concentrates. It maps the fixes that move from talk to proof. Chapter 1, Streets After Dark. The train doors close at 11:40 p.m. The car hums and clicks. Three riders. One man watches the window, but his eyes drift. Another moves down the aisle and stops by the map. A woman shifts to the seat under the camera dome. She tucks a loose strap under her coat. She glances at the car number and mouths it once to fix it in memory. She holds her phone screen low. Location sharing is on. The station list ticks by in a green line. This is a late commute that is also a routine. The path runs from platform to car to bus stop to parking structure. She has done it on weekdays and on weekends. She has done it after work, after class, after a shift that ran past closing. The route is a chain of public spaces that join at doors and ramps and stairs. Public space in this series means places open to all by design or law. Sidewalks, parks, plazas, and the areas around stations and stops. Transit space in this series means the parts of a trip that are owned or run by an agency. Platforms, fare gates, mezzanines, cars, buses, shelters, and park-and-ride lots. The edge between the two matters. Responsibility can switch at a line painted on the floor. Risk does not spread evenly along this chain. It clusters at certain times and in certain points on the map. After 10 p.m., the platform crowd thins. The next train gap grows by a few minutes. The bus headway stretches. The station agent rotates to cover a break. The security patrol follows a loop that leaves one quadrant quiet for a spell. These small shifts change how people move and where they wait. The woman tracks small signals. She scans for other riders who look like regulars. A student with a clear backpack. A nurse in soft shoes. A janitor with a lunch pail. She counts the number of open doors on the car and chooses a seat in the middle third. She sits with her back near a pole so no one can stand tight behind her. She keeps her bag between her shoes. Her keys lie flat in her palm. The blade tip points inward and down. Not to brandish. Only to feel prepared. She arranges her body to look alert but calm. The platform sound changes near midnight. The echo grows. A single voice travels farther. That makes a cough in the stairwell carry like a shout. She waits at the top of the stairs until two other riders start down. She walks with a casual gap that still keeps her in sight lines. She does not stand in the pocket under the last camera. She chooses the bright swath under a lamp that flickers a little but still casts a pool. She notes the call box by the pillar. She notes the elevator glass and the blind corner at its hinge. On the street, the bus stop sits between a shuttered deli and a garage door. The shelter roof holds the light. The bulb is cool and clean. The bench is wet from a brief rain. The schedule shows a headway of 20 minutes at this hour. The clock on her phone reads 11:53 p.m. A rideshare would cut time. But the cost bites when the month is tight. The bus is the plan. She places her back near the route sign so she can watch the sidewalk in both directions. She lowers one earbud and keeps the other in. She pretends to listen to a voice note and speaks a sentence to the empty air. She adds a time stamp to the message on her screen. The bus arrives at 12:04 a.m. The driver nods. She nods back. She taps in and moves to a seat that lets her see the mirror and the front door. She avoids the fold-down row where someone could slide in close. She avoids the aisle seat near the rear door where a person could lean over a shoulder. She rests her bag against her shin and braces it with her ankle. She keeps a small book open to a random page to make eye contact optional. She reads the same line twice without minding. The ride is short. Each part of this path holds a pattern of behavior that repeats for many women. These moves are learned over time. Some are taught by family. Some by friends. Some by trial after a scare. Sit near the driver at night. Wait by the blue light. Share your trip with a friend. Walk in the center of the sidewalk to keep space from doorways. Avoid the far end of the platform if the lamp is out. Hold your card ready to avoid a long search in a bag. Stand where you can see your reflection in the glass and what moves behind it. None of this is a confession of fear. It is a list of adaptations to a world that expects vigilance. The cost is attention that cannot rest. The cost is small reroutes that add minutes. The cost is a clutch of choices that feel normal until a night makes them heavy. The parking structure sits across the boulevard. The crosswalk signal runs 9 seconds for the first phase and blinks a countdown from 8. She turns her head right and left before the light changes. The diagonal shadow from the billboard makes a dark wedge in the corner where the stair tower meets the wall. She picks the ramp that spirals up in open air. She has learned that the echo in the tower can hide a second set of footsteps. The ramp is longer. It is the route tonight. On the second level, the lights are bright. On the third, one lamp is out. The difference is small but perceptible. On the fourth, a camera points down the center lane. It does not see the far corner where two pillars meet. She keeps to the open line down the middle. A pair of taillights glows 2 bays ahead. A door opens, and a driver steps out with a bag. The normalcy of that movement softens her grip. She breathes out and in. She notes her car as a spot of color 2 rows over. Mapping risk by place means noting these details at scale. It means tracking where lamps fail and how long they stay dark. It means measuring the time between trains after 10 p.m. It means counting which stair towers feel busy and which echo. It means noting where riders cluster and why. Often the why ties to simple features. Light, sight line, staff presence, a place to sit with a view of exits. A line of sight to a door that is unlocked and used. Mapping risk by time window is as plain. The period from 9 p.m. to midnight feels different from the period after midnight. School nights feel different from weekend nights. Paydays pull more riders late. Big events shift traffic to a burst and a lull. Weather writes its own map. A warm night extends outdoor congregation at corners. A cold rain clears sidewalks, but also clears watchers who might deter harm. Darkness arrives at 5 p.m. in winter and at 8:30 p.m. in summer. The same stop can feel like 2 stops under those skies. The path of this one commute offers a frame for the first chapter. It shows what is in scope for this reporting. The subject is not crime alone. The subject is safety as lived on ordinary nights. That includes the times when nothing happens and the mind holds tension like a muscle that never goes slack. That includes how a route can be made to feel fair to use without a private car. That includes the lines of duty and care that cross at the seam of public and transit space. A brief note on terms, set once for clarity. A platform is the area where riders wait for a train. A mezzanine is the level where fare gates and stairs meet. A headway is the time between vehicles on the same route. A call box is a fixed speaker and button that connects to security or an agent. A sight line is the clear view from one point to another without walls or obstacles in the way. A blue light is a marked pole or box that signals an emergency call point. A park and ride is a lot where riders leave a car to use transit for the main leg of a trip. With those terms in place, the scene can slow and look. On the train, the woman marks which car feels safest. She notes that the middle third gathers more riders. She notes that the front car brings the driver within 50 feet when the system uses open cabs. She notes where the conductor leans out at stations. She has no need to speak, but proximity matters. She watches how groups form around the poles and the doors. She watches who avoids eye contact and who seeks it. She lets her gaze rest on the map, so her face reads as busy. At the station transfer, the corridor narrows before the stairs. 2 posters and a vending machine push into the walkway. The blind pocket there is small, yet it makes her pace quicken. The camera mounted above answers only part of that feeling. It sees, but it does not stop or speak. The presence that changes behavior most in this spot is another rider passing within a few seconds. The clock on the wall reads 11:52 p.m. The time door to the elevator lobby clicks behind her. She hears the click and files it. That door will not open until the release cycle runs. At the bus stop, she uses the shelter glass to watch a reflection rather than turn her head at each footfall. She stands where both the shelter light and the street light overlap. She rests 1 foot on the bench to keep her bag under her thigh. She unlocks her phone and types the route number into her chat. She adds the minute count on the sign. She adds the corner names. She does this for herself and for the person who will read it only if needed. This is a script many writers know by heart. On the bus, the driver's mirror scans the aisle. The driver is a thin layer of authority and also a person with a schedule and a route to hold. The driver can see the front half well, the back half less well. Writers adapt to this sight line. They choose the area that keeps them inside the wide angle of the mirror. They avoid the row that dips behind the bulkhead where the aisle bends. The woman does the same. She sits where she can meet the driver's eyes if needed, without making it a performance. The parking structure returns at the end as the last link in the chain. The ramp carries her to the level where her car waits. She taps her key fob early to make the blinkers flash and finds her car with light rather than memory alone. She keeps her door between her and the aisle until she is inside. She locks before she puts the bag down. She starts the engine. She breathes out in a longer stream and feels the muscle in her jaw ease. The route ends with a short roll to the exit and a left turn toward home. A single commute does not prove a pattern, but it supports an inquiry. It shows the small rituals that many women adopt to tilt odds back toward normal. It shows how features of a place affect those rituals. It shows where responsibility might be focused. This chapter has set terms and mapped the places and times where attention tightens. It has also placed a key question at the center of the series. The question is simple and exact. What would it take for a woman to ride or walk this chain without rehearsing a safety plan? The answer is not a slogan. It is a set of changes that can be seen, timed, and kept. It is also a way to measure whether those changes hold up past the first month. That is the stake for the chapters ahead. The next step is to leave the desk and stand in these spaces when they feel most hollow and most alive. Stations at 11 p.m. and at 1 a.m. bus stops at the edge of a campus when classes let out late. Corridors that pinch the crowd. Towers that echo. Corners where a lamp fails and stays dark. Places where staff are present and places where staff pass through. The reporting will follow people who ride and walk these paths at those hours and under those lamps. The train brakes hiss into the station and the doors open. She stands, steps onto the platform, and joins two other riders on the move. The air is cool and smells faintly of oil and rain. A bus turns the corner on the street above. A light blinks on the call box. Footsteps cross in the stairwell. The sound carries. The story moves with it. Chapter 2, Turns in the Night. 9:40 p.m., Central Station Concourse. The floor is clean and the ceiling carries a low hum. The departures board shows longer gaps after 10 p.m. The station agent steps out from the booth and walks the east mezzanine. 2 minutes later, the booth is empty. A call button near the gate glows blue. A woman in a delivery jacket presses it once and waits. The speaker crackles. The agent's voice returns in 20 seconds. The delay is not long, but it changes how the space feels. The mezzanine is busy when the booth is staffed. It is thinner when the loop pulls the agent away. Field notes mark sight lines, light, and presence in plain counts. On the north platform, 3 lamps are bright and 1 is out. On the south platform, all 4 lamps are on but 1 cycles with a faint flicker. Riders cluster under the steady pool. A violin case rests near a column. A student with a backpack checks the clock and texts a friend. The gap between trains at this hour is 12 minutes. That is the stated headway. An actual interval on the board ticks to 16. Small slippage builds more weight in the same spots. 10:22 p.m., Westlake Street Corridor. The sidewalk pinches where a scaffolding run narrows the walk to a single lane. A curb ramp funnels pedestrians to the pinch. A city light pole stands at the entry to the scaffold. The bulb is on. The scaffold blocks the spill. The effect makes a short tunnel with 1 blind bend. People move through without pause in late daylight. At this hour, some riders cross to the far side to avoid the bend. Others hold phones up to use the camera view as a mirror. A rideshare driver slows at the curb and then moves on. The pinch is a construction fact, not a crime fact. Yet it shapes how risk is felt. A service worker named Rosa finishes her shift at 10:30 p.m. and makes this walk 4 nights a week. She works in a building 2 blocks from the station. She says she always calls her sister as she leaves the lobby. She says they keep the call open to the bus door. She holds her tote under her arm and wears flats. She says she used to carry a small alarm, but the battery died and she never replaced it. She prefers to walk with the flow. She says she avoids the shortcut under the garage where the puddles never dry. The route she uses adds 6 minutes. She calls those minutes a fee that she pays without thinking. 10:51 p.m., Riverside Bus Hub. A driver named Ahmed unlocks his coach and runs a pre-trip check. He taps the exterior lights and watches for the reflection in the glass of the shelter. He says the mirror shows the front half of the aisle well. He says he watches for anyone standing too close behind another rider at the fare box. He says he has had 3 incidents in the last year where he used the radio to call for a supervisor to meet the bus. None were violent. All were tense. He says the presence of a second uniform at a stop can unwind a confrontation. He says the worst feeling is when a shelter is crowded and the light behind is too bright because people in front read as silhouettes. The walkthrough of design elements begins at one late stop and moves to the next. Lighting is the first feature riders mention. A bright lamp does more than show faces. It defines a shared zone where everyone can read each other's intent. A lamp that flickers does the opposite. Sightlines come next. A shelter with glass on 3 sides allows a rider to keep eyes on the sidewalk and the lane. A shelter with opaque panels at head height creates blind pockets that riders fill with guesswork. Call boxes and help points are a strong signal, but their placement matters. A box behind a pillar is not a box. It is an idea. A box in clear view near the boarding line is a tool. Staff presence carries more weight than any sign. Late-night staffing is a blend of station agents, roving security, cleaners, and contracted ambassadors. Their loops leave gaps by design. Those gaps are reasonable in a system map and sharp on a platform. Riders do not parse org charts. They read whether someone in a marked vest can see them within a few seconds. That read changes behavior. People wait closer to the vest. They time a walk to align with the loop. When a loop slips, riders move closer to the camera dome and to each other. Complaint reporting and response pathways look simple on paper. A poster lists a text number, an app, and a phone line. A QR code sits at the bottom. A plain language explainer from the agency says texts go to a monitoring desk. It says the desk routes calls to rail control or bus operations. It says the agency can send a patrol or alert an operator. Field use looks different. Riders say they do not always receive a reply to a text. Some replies arrive after they have boarded. A phone line picks up faster, but many riders do not want to hold a call in public. The app is useful for after-the-fact reporting. It is less useful when a rider wants a quick presence on the platform. An interview with a night shift dispatcher gives a view from the other side of the line. The dispatcher says message volume spikes on Friday and Saturday nights between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. The spike includes noise complaints and intoxication reports. The dispatcher says the desk must choose between acknowledging every message and holding the channel for fast routing. The desk aims to do both. The desk sometimes fails. The dispatcher says the most actionable messages include precise location and direction of travel. Platform letter. Car number. Door count. The desk can act on that in seconds. Data insight grows from small daily counts rather than only from annual reports. A 2-week tally at 4 stops records lamp failures, response times for help points, and visible staff passes in 20-minute intervals. The notebook shows lamp outages persisted a median of 3 nights at 2 sites and 1 night at 2 others. Help points connected to a human voice in under 15 seconds at 3 boxes and in 30 seconds at 1. Staff passes arrived every 12 to 18 minutes at the busiest location. Staff passes were sporadic at the furthest lot. These are not broad claims. They are observed measures that point to where follow-up could verify pattern. Midnight ride-along, Route 14 to East Campus. 3 students board after a late lab. They sit across the aisle from each other and talk in low voices. One keeps a laptop bag on the inside seat and moves it when a new rider boards. They say the campus shuttle is full early and thin late. They say they choose the public bus for the last leg because it runs later by 30 minutes. They say they wish the stop near the library had a brighter light and a camera that could be seen from inside the bus. They say a simple sign that reads next bus in 5 minutes changes how long 5 minutes feels. A maintenance technician named Carl works the 3rd shift for the transit property team. He drives a small truck with bulbs, glass cleaner, and a step ladder. He says he has 12 stations on his loop. He says the work order list shows outages, but he also relies on rider notes and cleaner reports. He says the hardest spots to keep clean and bright are where wind drives dust under the canopy. He says when a lamp fails in a corner, people avoid that corner, which means he hears about it less. He says the fix that lasts is a lamp that is bright and a lens that is clean. He says the fix that fails is when a lens is clean, but the ballast is weak and the light drops to a dull tone in a week. The contrast between policy and practice shows up in small frictions. A policy says an escort service is available on request from the station to the parking structure during late hours. A sign lists a number. Riders say they rarely call because they do not know how long they will wait. A practice that works better is when an agent or ambassador walks the route in a visible loop without a call. Riders fold into that loop. A policy says cameras record and deter. A practice that works better is when a live voice can speak through a platform speaker to say a patrol is on the way. Riders say the voice turns the camera from a passive lens to a presence. Another friction appears in the seam between city and agency space. A city cleans sidewalks to the curb. An agency cleans platforms and mezzanines. The line falls on a stair landing. A spill on the landing can sit between two crews. Riders do not care whose mop cleans it. They care that it is gone before the late rush. A memorandum exists, but the memorandum is not a hand on a rail. The on-the-ground fix that works is a standing agreement that the first crew to see a hazard neutralizes it and logs the action for cost-sharing later. Where that agreement exists in fact, the seam reads as smooth. Where it exists only in text, the seam reads as a gap. One more ride-along, with a cleaner named Tatiana who starts at 11 p.m. and rotates through platforms and elevators. She says the elevator glass is a marker. If it is clear, people assume someone has been here recently. If it is smudged and streaked, people assume the opposite. She times her passes so that she hits the worst elevator at the top of each hour. She says she makes eye contact and nods. She says people nod back. She says that tiny trade makes the platform feel alive. She says when a call box is blocked by a cart, she moves the cart first, even if it is not her crew's cart. A short explainer on how reports move through the system closes this chapter's middle third. A text to the poster number enters a queue with a timestamp and a location tag. The system triages messages by keywords and by human scan. The queue routes an alert to rail control or bus operations. Rail control can open a public address channel and can send a patrol. Bus operations can send a road supervisor to meet a coach at a stop. Security can be called for a station sweep. Records show that response time varies by hour and by load. The fastest actions happen when a report includes car number, platform letter, and direction of travel. Those elements shorten the hunt. By 1:07 a.m., the platform at Central reads as hollow. The violin case is gone. The lamp that flickered earlier has steadied since the ballast cooled. Two riders sit on opposite benches. A cleaner wipes the elevator glass. A call box light is steady. A patrol passes through and pauses to talk with the station agent by the booth. The booth is staffed. The mezzanine feels held. The difference is not language on a poster. It is a combination of light, sight, presence, and movement that anyone can see. Chapter 3: Proof in the Light. 7 days after the field notes began, the notebook returns to the same sites. The aim is not a slogan. It is a record of change a rider can see. The record uses the same measures. Lamp counts. Wait times. Staff passes. Clear lines of sight. Central station, north platform. Before, one lamp was out and a second flickered. Riders clustered under the steady pool. After a maintenance ticket and an overnight visit, all four lamps hold bright. The ballast that failed has been replaced. The lens has been cleaned. The pool of light now reaches the bench that sat in a dim edge. During a 20-minute window, riders spread along the platform by a few yards. A cleaner wipes the elevator glass at the top of the hour. A help point test connects to a live voice in 12 seconds. The booth is staffed for all but 1 6-minute loop. The space reads as held. Westlake Street Corridor, the scaffold pinch. Before, the tunnel effect made a blind bend. After a joint check with the city, a temporary work light has been hung at the entry. The light washes the first length of scaffold so faces are visible in both directions. A convex mirror hangs at the bend. The camera view on a phone is no longer needed to watch the corner. Foot traffic now holds to a steady lane rather than a fast cross to the other side. The change is modest. It reduces the sudden move that made the lane feel tense. Riverside Bus Hub. Before, the shelter light was clean, but the lane behind was bright and backlit riders. After, the shelter roof receives a diffuser panel so the light is softer. Two poles behind the shelter are dimmed by a step to cut the silhouette effect. The driver mirror now reads faces more clearly when riders board. The queue at the fare box spreads into a clean line rather than a tight knot. A road supervisor and an ambassador walk a visible loop at 20-minute intervals from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Riders start to time their wait to the loop. The help point by the far bay is moved, so it is visible from the coach door. A small upgrade at East Campus, Route 14 stop. Before, a handmade sign had torn edges and no live timing. After, a next bus display shows a simple number in large digits. Riders can see 5 minutes or 8 minutes without lifting a phone. The display pulls eyes up and steadies the group. Students say it reduces the urge to pace. The driver says it reduces the burst at the door when a coach arrives, because the group has formed a queue with a shared sense of time. The parking structure by the station shows a different kind of fix. Before, one lamp was out on level 3 and a camera did not see a corner. After, the lamp is replaced and a second camera is aimed across the blind wedge. The agency and the city agree on a joint sweep at 11 p.m. and at 1 a.m. An escort loop by an ambassador is tested for 2 weeks. Riders do not have to call. The loop is on a posted schedule. The ambassador walks from the station to the structure, pauses at each stair, and returns. The pause is brief and predictably timed. These snapshots are not a full program. They are proof points in small places. The question is whether they change behavior and reduce harm signals. Early reads say they do. The platform shows a wider spread under steady light. The corridor pinch no longer nudges riders into the street. The bus shelter holds a cleaner queue. The next bus display turns a wait into a known length. The escort loop draws riders into a visible group at the top of each hour. None of these erase risk. All of them reduce the need for a private safety script. A practical playbook grows from these sites for agencies and for riders. It uses plain steps that fit tight budgets and real loops. Agency actions first. Keep light and sight in front of all else. Count lamp failures nightly and replace within 48 hours. Track not only the outage, but the time to steady output. Clean lenses on a schedule and log the pass. Aim cameras to cover corners where pillars make wedges. Add a mirror at a blind bend when a camera cannot carry the angle. Post the mirror clean schedule next to the elevator schedule so riders see care in more than one plane. Make presence a loop, not a poster. Staff booths during late hours with minimal gaps. When a loop pulls an agent away, place an ambassador at the rail for that window. Walk platforms and structures at set times and publish the times. A consistent loop builds a shared rhythm that riders can use. Place help points in view of the boarding line and test them daily. Record connect times. Say the number allowed to riders. Treat a help point behind a pillar as broken even if it works, because hidden is not useful. Tune operations for the late gap. Hold headways as promised after 10 p.m. When a headway slips, send a short broadcast to platform speakers with a new time. Use plain speech. Short sentences. No jargon. Acknowledge the delay. Name the minute count. A live voice cuts the hollow feeling that grows when the board creeps without a human sound. Equip drivers with a quick alert that signals a supervisor to meet a coach at a stop without a long radio exchange. Train drivers on how to call for a patrol with the fewest words that get action. Fix the seam between city and agency space. Sign a standing agreement that the first crew to see a hazard clears it and logs a photo. Share costs in batch later. Place joint inspection at the stair landing where the line falls. Post a shared number that rings both desks. Use a single QR code that routes by location without asking riders to pick the owner. The seam should be invisible to a person with tired feet. Make complaint channels responsive in real time. Staff the text desk to acknowledge every message within 60 seconds. If resources are low, send an auto reply that includes a promise and a path. Then meet that promise. Acknowledge first. Act second. Close the loop with a message that says who is coming and in how many minutes. Keep the language plain. Keep the sentences short. Publish response time stats weekly. Treat the numbers as service, not as legal cover. Rider actions next. Use the visible loop. Stand within the band of light where staff pass. Choose seats in line with mirrors and exits. Share a trip with one person who will check in. Note the car number and platform letter when you text a concern. Hold your phone low, but keep the screen ready. Keep your bag where you can feel it with a foot or a forearm. If a help point is blocked, move what blocks it and then press. Do not apologize for asking for a presence. Your request is part of the system. For schools and workplaces that release late, small steps matter. Place a temporary light at the corner where classes let out. Walk the route with a campus aide during peak release for 2 weeks. Post the times at the stop. Pair two students who finish the same lab for the short leg to the bus. The aim is not to move fear from one person to two. The aim is to build a visible human pattern that others can join. The accountability frame holds who does what, by when, and how a rider can see the proof. Maintenance owns lamp uptime and lens clarity. Operations own headway adherence and live voice updates. Security owns help point response and platform passes. City crews own the lanes and the scaffolds that pinch. A weekly board should show four numbers that any rider can read. Lamp outages cleared within 48 hours. Average help point connect time. Headway on time rate after 10 p.m. staff passes per hour at named sites. If the numbers slip, the board should say what changed and what will be done by a date. What remains unknown should be named without spin. We do not yet know how long the gains hold once the pilot loops end. We do not yet know whether the next bus display will keep working through storms and heat without frequent failures. We do not yet know how much the escort loop is used when a month has passed and the schedule is familiar. We do not yet know how many riders stop texting concerns because they trust the loop. Each unknown can be tested. Set a date to measure. Publish what is found. Cost and trade-offs deserve a clear line. Bright light at night draws insects and can wash out a view into nearby apartments. A diffuser can help. Staff loops cost wages that strain a tight budget. A short loop can still build rhythm if it is consistent. Cameras alone do not deter. They are tools only when paired with a live voice and a patrol that moves. These are not excuses to stall. They are facts to plan around. A modest survey gathers lived feedback after 2 weeks. It asks three questions. Do you feel more comfortable at this stop after 10 p.m. than 2 weeks ago? Which change matters most to you? What would you fix next? The answers are short and varied. Brighter lamp. Cleaner glass. A face in a vest. A sign with minutes that match the coach. The next requests are practical. Trim the hedge at the corner of the lot. Move the trash bin so it does not block the help point. Mark the far stair as closed at night so riders do not walk to a locked door. By the end of this run, the notebook has more than scenes. It has counts and times that show small improvements. It has steps that are within reach for most agencies. It has rider habits that work without placing the burden only on the person who already carries vigilance. The biggest gain may be this. A shift from private scripts to shared systems. A move from whispered tips to posted loops. A night that feels held by design rather than by luck. The closing scene returns to the chain. Platform. Car. Bus. Lot. The same woman rides at 11:40 p.m. The lamps are steady. The next bus sign reads 5 minutes and then four. The driver nods. An ambassador passes with a clipboard and a small flashlight. The help point light is on. The elevator glass is clear. She keeps her phone in her pocket and her keys in her bag. She still pays attention. She does not rehearse a plan at every link. She walks the ramp in open air because it remains her habit. She taps the fob and her car blinks. She unlocks. She sits. She breathes. The jaw muscle does not hold as tight. The route still belongs to the public. It feels more like a rite and less like a test. What would it take for more nights to feel like this? It would take the same mix kept. Light that stays bright. Sight that stays clear. Presence that arrives on time. Voices that answer when called. Numbers that are posted and kept honest. None of these require a speech. All of them require a schedule and a person assigned. The series ends with work left on the table. The work is not heroic. It is steady. It is the kind that grows trust when it repeats. That is the measure to watch in the months that follow.